This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. On the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you all along the network here in Minneapolis, St. Paul on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, as well as Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, and WAUK 540 AM. 101 FM, the Shaw in Waukesha, Milwaukee area. Good to have you with us today. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Matt Patrick here today. Patrick, say hi to the network. This is the first time you've been able to say hi here.
Hello, Wisconsin. Love you, not your football team.
Don't do that, man. Don't do that. That's going to be the next hour. That's going to be the next hour of the phone, for goodness sakes. I got a lot of other things to get to. I'll talk a little bit about something near that tomorrow. But today I got a lot of things to get to, including the tragic news. James Caan passed away. We forget Brian's song was before The Godfather. That was 71. The Godfather, of course, Sonny Corleone, fantastic as that in that role. Rollerball. I forgot about Rollerball. He had Thief, which was a great movie from 1980, I think it was. He was there. Alien Nation, a great film very underrated science fiction film, which I think was quite good. Of course, Honeymoon in Vegas, fantastic as the kind of the bad guy in that film. On numerous TV shows. Of course, he was on the TV show Las Vegas there for many years. Elf. That was one of his, probably his most popular, I would say Elf is probably, Misery or Elf. After The Godfather, his second most popular role was probably Elf, playing Walter in Elf. And then I think that, and that's, of course, factoring in Misery, which was just a fantastic, fantastic movie as well. What was the one where he played the bad guy to Arnold Schwarzenegger as the, oh, God, what was the name of that film? I'm rolling through it here, see if I can find it, where he played the bad guy against Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was trying to save the girl. Is it Bulletproof? Eraser. That's who it is. Eraser was that movie. That was actually a pretty decent film, too. Passing away, sad loss there. As a great actor, did a lot of acting up till the end. As 82 years old, passing away at 82 years old in Los Angeles, California. Will be missed. What was your favorite James Caan? What's your favorite James Caan film?
I got to go with The Godfather. Yep. It's tough to go against.
He
was
so perfectly cast as Sonny Corleone. Corleone. There you go. He was so perfectly cast as Sonny. I mean, all of them, the brothers in that movie, that's one of the things that made that movie work, was how well they cast the brothers in that movie. I mean, Brando, of course, is fantastic. But the brothers were just perfect. Perfect in that movie. Oh. A lot to get to today in regards to... it's going to be a tough love show here. But I do want to make sure for all the people listening along the network, a lot of ways, once again, for you to get in touch with me. And I do like it when you touch me. So... you can always get in touch with me on the Twitter page, Matt McNeil Show on Twitter, Progressive Citizen X, Matt McNeil Show on Facebook. A lot of, 8,500 followers there. So, hi, guys. How are you doing there? You're more than welcome to follow me there. And as well, you're always welcome to call in 952-946-6205. Comment at AM 950 Radio. Comment at AM 950 Radio is how you can email me. I've already had my first person questioning my military career. I brought this up on Tuesday. There will always, for some reason, Republicans are furious when there's a liberal who has actually served in the military, who's a veteran. And I'm actually technically a disabled veteran. U.S. Army. from 1988 to 1992. And I will bring that up because I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud to have served this country. A big salute to all the veterans out there. It's a very passionate issue for me. I'll talk more about that over the days. But for some reason, conservatives try to feel as if I'm lying about that and will always come on out and say, you didn't serve. I had one guy claim that when I was – it was this snarky jackass who basically claimed that because he had never read something in a training manual when he was stationed in Europe, which apparently was like 12 years before I was, that it couldn't have possibly happened. And I said to him, let me get this right. You're saying you read every training manual in Europe across the board? Because every unit has their own training manual. I mean, that's thousands and thousands of training manuals. It, needless to say, what it comes down to is a massive level of disrespect to a veteran just because they disagree with me politically. And I will get to the point where I say, fine, $5,000. Put $5,000 down. I'll put $5,000 down. One of us will be right. And if I prove to you I'm a veteran, then I will take your money and give it to the VA. They could use it. There's lots of programs over there that need some money. Fill in some of those gaps. And I say, what I'll do is I talk to a lot of the guys I served with still. I'll bring them up. They can basically testify that I indeed did serve. And it's at that point where the freaking cowards either run away completely. Delete, run away. They either do that or they try to, I never questioned whether you were serving. I wanted to make sure. Thank you very much for your service. And that's generally the last I'll hear of them. Because they're a bunch of freaking cowards. So, I mean, I'll just, if you want to try to prove that I didn't serve in the military, put $5,000 up. When I do prove it, I'll take your money and I'll give it to Veteran Services and make sure the veterans get that money. It's put your money where your mouth is. You're going to question my veteran service just because you disagree with my politics. Well, first of all, screw you. Second of all, I'm glad to take your money and give it to the VA. And by the way, you're welcome. All right? I'm glad I served this country for you guys, too. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So this show, this hour, might be a little tough for some progressives, liberals out there. But there's a mentality I have towards what I do, that my job is to help wherever I can. And if I see a problem, I'll say it. If there is a potential catastrophe coming, I've got to say something. Absolutely. It's tough love. And, I'd love to just do a show about rainbows and puppy dogs. I would love to do that. But the reality is we live in a really sucky time right now. And there is only one way we can fix it. And that is by basically changing what we have done as Democrats. If you are on the left, if you are an independent, there's only one thing you can do. And I'll get to that here in a second. How did we get here? It basically comes down to this. A lot of people didn't vote in 2016. And they didn't. And I understand right now that people are I'm going to call him. No, what's done is done. We don't have a time machine. I don't have a TARDIS. I can't go back in time with Doctor Who. It's what's done is done, okay? But that's the reality. A lot of people sat out, and that was the game plan. The Republicans ran a campaign to basically disencourage Democrats from voting, and we obliged them. We absolutely did. I remember lying in my bed that night, staring at the ceiling all night long. I did not sleep a wink on election night in 2016. I did not. And I said, do these people just realize? Now, I'm not talking about the Republicans. I mean, the Republicans to a point for sure. But the Democrats who didn't vote or filed a protest vote. And I just said to myself, do these people realize what they have just done? And bon appetit, because now you're seeing the fruition of what happened. We like to think about politics in this country moving really fast. The reality is that there's an inertia that when the impact of something happens, it's usually 4, 5, 6 years down the road before you really see the impact of what has happened. And that's where we're at right now. this Supreme Court rulings that came down the last week or so, they are a direct response to Hillary Clinton losing that election, mainly because a lot of Democrats didn't show up. And I understand there's people, I showed up. Well, that's good. Good for you. Bravo. But a lot of people didn't. And this, what we had, Supreme Court rulings where they overturned Roe v. Wade. They basically said you can't regulate guns in public spaces. They basically said that you've got to give taxpayer dollars to religious institutions. They came back and they said you can now have Christian prayer on school grounds led by school leaders in taxpayer-funded facilities. And then they lied about the prayer. My God, it's a quiet personal. No, it's not. It was a loud prayer, and it was pray if you want to play, and that was kind of the thing. And I guarantee you that's the new standard that for these right-wing Christian football coaches and athletes, or coaches across the, no matter what athletic field they're in, football, basketball, baseball, whatever. It's like Supreme Court now basically said, if you don't pray with me, you don't have any say, so you get out here and pray. I guarantee you that's been said. I guarantee you that's been said. All of these atrocious rulings, and the ones to come in. By the way, we should also remember last year, Alito and Broomhilda, Barrett. That's right. They basically remember when they went on their PR tour, and they were screaming about how don't you dare call our Supreme Court rulings political. Remember that? They did that because they knew they were about to make some really seriously political Supreme Court rulings. They knew it. And so they were doing a preemptive strike to try to basically try to give themselves some cover. The reality is it's a joke. So how did we get to this point? I'll break that down more when I come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Matt McNeil Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good to have you with us. Hello, Madison. Hello, Waukesha. Hello, Milwaukee. Hello, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Love for you, too. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So, 2016 happened. We just had the Supreme Court rulings where we see what the outcome of 2016's election is. Bing, bada bing. How did we get to this point? Because Republicans are freaking committed. And you might not like that, but it's true. Republicans are committed. In the wake of the disaster of Nixon and the Ford pardon of Nixon, the Republican Party started getting into bed with extremist far-right religious folks on abortion issue because they basically said, we'll get rid of this. We love babies. By the way, quick fun note. After that Roe v. Wade overturning, how many states had retroactive laws kicking into gear holding deadbeat dads far more accountable? Zero. How many states had retroactive laws kick into gear that offered health care to the mother or the baby, whether in pregnancy or after birth? Zero. How many of those states had retroactive laws that made sure the baby, the one they care about, the life they care about, you know that one, had food and shelter? Zero. How many of those states had retroactive laws kick into gear, which had, basically affordable daycare and care options for that child? Zero. None of that. Nope. And by the way, funny side note, not funny, it's actually terrifying. In all those conservative states, let me guarantee you something. Wealthy, white, Christian, Republican women will not have to go out of state to get an abortion. They will be able to go down to their strip mall where they'll have what's called an anti-babyoscopy. And the same people who rail against abortion are now all of a sudden going to be the same ones like, how dare you get between a patient and their anti-babyoscopist? That's a private procedure. Nope, they're going to be able to get abortions right in their hometown. That's not even in doubt. Ugh. So they got into bed with these guys in the 70s, and they basically became a tentpole issue. And the Republicans kept saying the same thing. keep us elected and we will deliver. Keep us elected and we will deliver. Keep us elected and we will deliver. And here is an issue where 70% of the country wants Roe v. Wade to stand. They want abortion to be legal. And yet the Republicans have somehow been able to force something that only 30% of the country, and in some states only 10% of the country, want on everyone else. They've been able to do that. How did they do that? Every single stinking election, they showed up. They did. Even if they couldn't stand the candidate, they showed up and they voted for them. Every single election, presidential, midterm, off year, every one of them. Special elections, every one of them. And this comes up to the problem that Democrats have. Democrats don't vote. Now, I know there's a lot of Democrats, progressives out there saying, how dare you, Matt? I vote every time. So do I. I served in the military. I understand the value of the right of being able to choose who we have. But when you look at the percentages, a lot of Democrats do not go out and vote. They just don't. And whatever the reason, you know, they get preoccupied. They just don't. There's the people that don't vote because they just don't vote. They don't. What's the value of it? Well, yeah, I think they got a lesson in that, didn't they? But I guarantee you, even this upcoming election and in the next presidential election, there's still going to be a lot of people, primarily Democrats and independents, who agree with the left, who just will not vote. They won't vote. Sometimes they won't vote because I only agree with that person over there 90% of the time. Unless it's someone I agree with all the time, I'm not going to vote for them. Oh my God, really? Really? That's pathetic. Or they try to be clever. Oh, I'm going to be contrarian. I'm not going to vote for this person. I'm going to vote for this person who has absolutely zero chance at winning to send a message. Yeah, your message is you're going to throw out your vote. That's what your message is. And you did. Mission accomplished. Now, I know that there's going to be people that are going to come up and say, Matt, how dare you? How dare you? Just because I choose to do this, it's my right. You are absolutely correct. If that's the case, then shut up. Just shut up. All the stuff that's going on right now, if you don't care, then this is the world you wanted. Well, I didn't want that. Well, then why didn't you vote? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you don't understand the crap sandwich we just got fed, let me explain it to you a little bit better. If the Republicans win any major election over the next 12 years, especially a presidential election, it's over. It will be 30 years before we can actually fix all this stuff. I want to make sure, do you guys just hear that? I mean, hear that. Stop. Think about this for a second. If the Democrats do not show up and vote in force for the next 12 years, every single election, the Republicans will have this in place for decades to come. Decades, including any other further corporations or people. You don't have, we're going to dictate what kind of sex you can have in your household, that kind of stuff. No contraception. Gay rights don't exist anymore. If you don't go and vote every stinking election, this is you have 12 years. You've got 12 years of doing your civic duty every freaking election to get this fixed. 12 years. God forbid the Republicans win the presidency and say the House or the Senate rather in 1-2 year term, because what will happen is Alito and Thomas will retire. They will put in far right, 12, 25-year-old justices. So they'll stay far-right extremist for the next, oh, God, yeah. Even if the Republicans just win the U.S. House, trust me, they'll try to figure out some way to throw the president and the vice president, if they're Democrats, out of office and install the Speaker of the House as the new president of the United States and immediately have Supreme Court justices resign and fill those seats. Nope. Your margin of error from here on out to fix this is zero. You, and if you're saying, oh, I don't want to do this, well, then you're saying you're comfortable with all these rulings. If you're pissed off like I am, like a lot of people are, then this is what your marching orders are. For the next 12 years, whenever there's election, you have to vote. And that's just it. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I'll break it down even further when I come on back. 952-946-6205. Jeff, Mark, hold on. I'll try to get your calls in a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show. You know, the day destroys the night. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. So, we've seen exactly what happened here. The Republicans showed up to vote. Democrats really didn't show up to vote with any kind of consistency. And the Republicans were able to, after a 40-year plan, sweet Lord, stalk the Supreme Court to now we are living in a conservative hellscape in this country. And how do we fix it? Because once again, the margin of error for Democrats is non-existent. It really is. You have to vote every election. 12 years, maybe 16, until you have Thomas and Alito age out, maybe even Roberts at that point age out, and you can get Democrats on the Supreme Court. That's what it's going to take. And trust me, they are going to get that Darth Vader health machine to keep those guys as going as long as they can. Heck, if the Republicans take charge, I guarantee you, especially they get the presidency and the Supreme Court, or excuse me, and the Senate, I guarantee you they might actually try to throw off the liberal justices just to put it, stock it, and make it 9-0. They will do this. You say, oh, they wouldn't do this. How many freaking times have we heard, well, they won't do that, and here they do it. Oh, my God, they did it. Yeah. Is it sinking in yet? Dear freaking Lord. The only thing that matters is voting. Now, I know a lot of people out there who will go, they'll do that Twitter zinger, or get a meme going. Great. That does nothing. That does nothing. It does. It does nothing. Is it a vote? Did you vote? No, you just did the Twitter zinger. You didn't do squat. Voting is the only thing that matters. You made a really cool protest sign. Great. Great. You know, it gives you some outlet, but did it really do anything? No. Voting is the only thing that matters. You went to march after march after march and screamed and yelled. Great. Let your voice be heard. Protesting. First Amendment right. At least it should be. Thanks, Republicans. But what did you do at the end of the day after that protest march, outside of put some really cool pictures on your Instagram or your TikTok feed? What did you do? You protested. You didn't vote. You didn't change anything. You didn't really change anything. Voting is what matters. And you can, I'm not saying don't do any of this stuff, but this should be the parsley on the plate. The zinger, the internet zinger, the protest sign, the protest march, the strongly worded 25-page memo with appendix and documents. Oh, I have written this memo, and when they read it, it's gonna win the day. No, it won't. No, it won't. No, it won't. Oh, sweet Jesus, no, it won't. No one will read it. No one cares. Do it if it gives you an outlet. But that's parsley on the plate of what you have to do. You have to vote. In case you're missing what I'm saying, there's only one freaking thing that matters. Voting. The only thing that matters is voting. The only thing that matters is voting. Democrats, there is some fatal flaws that the Democrats have. First of all, your outrage is fleeting. Oh, you're fired up and you're... And then Stranger Things is on. Oh, my God. Stranger Things. Did you play that new video game? Oh, my God, it was so awesome. Did you try that new craft beer? Oh, my God, it's so cool. How about, hey, how's your favorite sports team doing? Oh, my God. I just got to make 20 posts on social media. Oh, that's right. I was supposed to be angry for a few months. Democrats, you get your cabooses handed to you when it comes to outrage. You get your cabooses handed to you when it comes to outrage. You do. You absolutely do. Republicans show up every single time. Every single election. For God's sakes, 2020. How many Republicans did I know, especially in the Twin Cities suburban area, who are like, oh, God, I'm this 4 years of this guy. I'm not on board with this. This is crazy. They all went and voted for him. It's brainwashing, folks. They all voted for him. Because at the end of the day, Republicans, even if it's someone they dislike, they'll vote for them. They never even think about protest voting or not showing up. Democrats do it all the freaking time. As a matter of fact, I'm here. I bet you there's someone listening to me. It's like, I'm going to show that Matt McNeil something. I'm going to file a protest vote with someone who has no chance at winning to show him what I mean. Oh, great. Yeah, good, good. And then that same person is, oh, why do these Supreme Court rulings keep coming back? This is it. Republicans don't protest vote. Republicans don't vote for a contrarian candidate just to say I didn't vote for this. No, they all voted for Trump. After that 4 years, that stink pile of manure that was you could send to the freaking moon. They all went with a smile on their faces into the voting booths and Donald Trump. Seriously. Democrats, your outrage lasts as long as sour cream. It does. It's already fading in some people, isn't it? And I know there are people out there who are listening to me right now say, not me, Matt. No, not me. Great. How about your friends? How about your colleagues? How about all those people you know on social media? Is their outrage fading? Because if their outrage is fading, it doesn't really freaking matter how outraged you are, because you need to have everyone in your community voting. Everyone voting. Democrats, another fault, not only do their outrage is fleeting. Democrats have a fault of, unless that candidate, I agree with them 100% of the time, I'm not going to vote for them. Jesus. You may not like the system. I can agree with you on that. If you want to change the system we have right now, you need to go start a third party and you need to work your caboose off. And it doesn't mean that you can't. I mean, I was always amazed at how quickly the federal government passed a constitutional amendment outlawing alcohol. It wasn't in 1910. It wasn't even an issue on anyone's ballot. By 1918, they'd passed a constitutional amendment and alcohol was illegal. You got to work your butt off, but you can't just sit there and say, I'm going to try to take over the Democrats. No. If you don't like how the Democrats are, then you need to go start your own party. But the reality is if you're a Democrat and you agree with the left, and if you want to change anything, you got to vote for the Democrat. And yeah, there are times I am lucky here in Minnesota. My Minnesota House Rep is Cheryl Youakim. My Minnesota Senator is the fantastic Ron Latz. My two senators are Klobuchar and Smith, both Democrats. The governor of the state of Minnesota is Governor Tim Walz, Democrat. My House member used to be Ilhan Omar, and now my House member is the Democrat Dean Phillips, who probably most recognizable is he was the guy that was screaming, you did this to the Republicans when the people were storming the Capitol. That was Dean Phillips. I like those guys. Do sometimes they upset me? Yep. will I not vote for them? Of course I'll vote for them. I'm not a freaking idiot. There's no other candidate on the ballot. That means if I don't get that person elected, a Republican takes over. And if a Republican takes over, guess what? More of this crap. You can't just sit there and say, they're not doing anything I want. You've got to just suck it up and vote for them because that's the only way you're going to fix this. The last problem that Democrats have is they think to themselves that they want the end of the movie. They want that moment where we did it and everybody's hugging and everybody's tears of joy are coming down their face and they grab hands and they march into the sunset and roll credits. They want to do it like that. They think there's a freaking finish line here. There is no finish line. There's another election in 2 years, probably in most municipalities in 1 year. You want that moment where we did it. Yay. Put people on shoulders and march down the street. Oh, it's great. That was 2008. We did it. Barack Obama won. And then 2010. What do you mean there's another election? We got our cabooses into us. And that's another major reason why we're in the mess we're in right now. There is no finish line. There is no roll credits. There is nothing. You just vote every single time. End of story. This is what you have to do. And you have to remind yourself, there's not a single Republican out there who will skip an election, even if the worst candidate on the ballot is there. They'll still vote. They won't ever come on out and say, I'm going to vote for this candidate as a contrarian vote to send him. Nope, they don't. The only way Democrats can fix this is that you have to vote every stinking election for the next 12 years. Will your outrage last that long? Will it? Right now, your major goal should be making sure that every one of your friends is registered to vote. Every single one of them. You should ask your friends, do you know where to vote? Let me help you figure out where you do it. So the Secretary of State's page in most states will tell you exactly how to do that. Get registered to vote. Know where you're going to vote. And then come election day, whether that's early voting, if your state offers that, or on election day itself, you get off your asses, you put down the freaking video game consoles, you turn off freaking Netflix, you put down the social media pages, get off your butts and go and vote. Because that is the only way you are going to fix this. The only way. Don't show me pictures of your protest march. Don't show me your Twitter zinger. Don't. Vote. That's it. That's it. That's everything. That is everything for 12 years. If there's a contested race, there's going to be a primary on the Democratic side. Fight for your candidate. If they win, great. If they don't, well, realize you throwing a pity party for your freaking self and sitting there and saying, I'm going to sit out this election, is only helping the Republicans. The Republicans today are spending a lot of money to basically discourage Democrats from voting. I mean, the headlines, I talked about this in the 4 o'clock hour in Minneapolis, St. Paul yesterday, but the headlines you're seeing going around right now are frustrated Democrats. Biden is powerless. Democrats asking why Biden isn't doing more. Democrats are already experiencing massive losses in November. I mean, these are the news headlines. These are the freaking news headlines. In Minneapolis, St. Paul, there was some unruliness and it wasn't good. 4th of July, because I guess Minneapolis police decided to take a good chunk of the evening off. Fireworks were fired all over the place. People were firing them at buildings, at individuals. And at the end of the evening, as things ramped up in Minneapolis, I think it was 7 people were shot in Boom Island Park. And I don't think any of them have died, but I think there were some serious injuries. If you hear the Republicans talking, it's like, half the city burned down, thousands of people are dead. This is chaos. You can't vote for a Democrat. You know, they're turning every outrage molehill into a mountain. Are you just going to sit back and allow that to happen? Are you going to sit back and allow the Republicans to convince you not to vote? Are you going to sit back and say to yourself, well, this is good. This is what we wanted. Are you going to be that person like, how did they win? Did you vote? No, but I can't believe everyone else did vote. No, it starts with you. I want you to look in the freaking mirror. Look in the mirror. You are the point person here. You are the individual. You can only control your actions. And if you're upset and you're outraged at what the Supreme Court of the United States did, then you know what you need to do. You need to make sure you're registered. You need to make sure you're voting. That's it. That's everything right there. Get registered to vote. Make sure you vote. Make sure your friends are registered to vote. Make sure they vote. That's it. No more protest votes. No more, I'm sitting this election out. You gotta vote because the margin of error is zero. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. The Matt McNeil Show, not only at AM 950 in Minneapolis, St. Paul, but also WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM, the Shaw and Waukesha, Milwaukee, as well as Devil Radio 92.7 FM Madison, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus. I can't believe it took me 3 days to make that mistake. There we go. It took me 3 days. I was so good. 952-946-6205. By the way, this quick little update. Derek Chauvin, that jackass, he was just sentenced to 21 years in federal prison for George Floyd, and then also his violating civil rights on a 14-year-old boy, he also kneeled on the back of as well. This on top of the 22 and a half years he was sentenced in state prison. We've got, you know, how important are elections? We got an attorney general's race going on here in Minnesota. Keith Ellison is back up again. And I guarantee the Republican is going to look at these officers that killed George Floyd, and if the cases come before him, my guess is, I'm speculating, is he'll probably say, they've been punished enough. Wow. Yeah, that's my speculation. 952-946-6205. Let's head to the phone lines. Thank you very much for holding. Mark in the sack, I believe, is how we're supposed to introduce him. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. I mean, the Supreme Court thing, I can remember back, this is going to be the late 60s, a friend of mine in school, she was a Jehovah Witness, and she was excused in the classroom when we said the Pledge of Allegiance because that violated her freedom of religion, and that and from my father's marginal Catholic upbringing, he gave me the way you're supposed to pray. You're not supposed to be praying loudly in public like that. That's supposed to be anathema to being a Christian. You're supposed to pray quietly, and not bring attention to yourself when you're praying, to show just how holy you are, because that's just,
you know,
bad news right there,
Mark. It would be great if Republicans read the Bible. I mean, it's a hoot of a story in there. I think they need to actually take a look at what it says in there.
Matthew, 35 to 40, where it says you're supposed to be taking care of the poor.
Yeah,
taking care of the least among us. Take care of the people that are actually even take care of the people that are in our prisons.
Yes,
it is just completely asinine. It's like the Supreme Court has turned, a little phrase that, and from Oliver Twist, what Bumble said about, if the law assumes that, then the law is an ass. Well, the Supreme Court has turned the law into an ass in this particular case.
All right, Mike. Mark, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call there. No, it's a lot of frustration there. But this is what happened. This is what happened in 2016 when people decided to not vote. It is. Tough love, it is. So what do you do now? Do you file another protest vote? Do you vote for someone who has no chance of winning? Or do you basically vote for the people that got the chance at overturning what has happened for the next 12 years on every freaking election? It's that simple. Jeff is in Norwood, Young America, Minnesota. Welcome on in, Jeff.
Yeah, hello, Matt. Army veteran, 83 to 87, right before you.
Thank you, sir.
Yep, I was listening to your show. It was yesterday or the day before on the way home. I wanted to call in, couldn't, but talking about assault rifles. And, you know, I agree with all that because, you know, I've trained with them before and all that. And I remember when I was in AIT in 84, we had a guy going through. He was an E6, and he was getting people signed up for the NRA, and I signed up for 1 year. I was only 21 at the time. The NRA pissed me off within 3 months.
Reminder, hey, just a little thing, Jeff. When you had a, if you had a weapon that wasn't your service issued weapon, where was it? Where did you have to keep that on a military base?
We either had to keep it off post at a friend's house, or it's got to be locked in the arms room.
In the armory, that's right. You could not, on a military base, they would not allow you to have an assault weapon up in your room. You had to have that locked in the armory. And in, when I was stationed in Germany, if you wanted that out of there, you had to file the paperwork, and you, you had to go through a process to get it out of there.
Yep, sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, most of my friends, you know, we were getting, you know, a lot of them had pistols, you know, the basic 357. Six-shooter and all that. Nobody had assault rifles.
No, they didn't.
And you know, that was... And I've owned an assault weapon. I bought an AKM. It was by chance, and that was like an 89. That thing is... I have it locked in cold storage. I haven't used it for years. It's so... What if they wanted to come take it away from you? And I'm like, sitting what's been going on in this country? I would almost... be willing to give it up. There's so much stupidity.
Jeff, quick question for you. If I was to give you a $1,000 tax rebate if you turned that gun in, would you do it? Jeff? We lost Jeff.
No.
Oh, no, you know, you wouldn't.
Not yet. No, not yet. Not yet. But, yeah, you know, it's... I keep them locked up. There's just so much stupidity with it. You know, the NRA always did this, and, like, within 3 months, it's just a grift. They're always calling it begging for money.
Indeed. No, and Jeff, I appreciate the phone call because I want to, because I got to get to the end of the show here, and I want to bring up something you'd said there about assault weapons, because I want to make sure, I said this yesterday, and I had a conservative righto gun freak, you know, twisted mind person bring this up. He said, "Well, you're gonna ban hammers. You're gonna ban knives, or you're gonna take all the guns." I said, "Okay, let's step back for a second. Okay, we do not allow people to get flamethrowers. Why not? No one is suggesting we ban matches or lighters or candles, but we do ban people from having a flamethrower." Why? Well, because if I'm an arsonist and I get a flamethrower, the amount of damage I can do in 5 minutes is pretty obnoxious. Numerous people killed, numerous buildings burnt down, because a flamethrower will do that. It's designed to burn things down. And so having those available on the market so that a person can, oh, I don't know, who's an arsonist, go get one and spray fire everywhere is not a good idea. Now, does that mean when I place the flamethrower in the corner, is the flamethrower a bad flamethrower? No, it's just sitting there. It's an inanimate object. Does it mean that there wouldn't be some people who would be, I guess, responsible with the flamethrower? I guess, I don't know. Fine. Okay, great. But the reality is that we have determined, because the vehicle, the flamethrower, can do so much damage so quickly, it is not in the best interest of society to allow them to be sold to the public. Well, then why the freaking hell do we allow assault weapons to be sold, huh? Doesn't mean you can't have a personal defense pistol. Doesn't mean you can't have a hunting rifle. No one's saying taking those away. In the same sense as no one's saying ban matches. And you can try to do that whole slippery slope, Matt. We'll ban matches and candles. Oh, shut up. No one's saying that, you moron. No. Why do we allow assault weapons? Because the vehicle, the AR-15, can cause an insane amount of damage incredibly fast. Doesn't mean that a crazed person, a racist, a bigot, couldn't do the same thing with do some damage and shoot people with other weapons. It just is the vehicle is designed to kill as many people as quickly and as fast as possible. So let's apply the flamethrower standard to the AR-15, shall we? Because that would seem to make some level of sense. It would. We're done on the network here. Devil Radio 92.7, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, WAUK at Waukesha 540 and 101 FM The Shaw. Stand by. New programming. We'll be back. Hour two up next. Hello, AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hour two of the show. Oh, I guarantee you I'm going to get some freaking hate mail on that one. Oh, Patrick, I always do. How dare you say that we need to vote for candidates that got a chance while I complain about the outcome of all these elections? Dear Lord. Dear Lord. And yeah, I know that means in some of these states you got to jump through a lot of hoops to get registered. Do it. Get it done now. And you're good to go. How are you, Patrick? I haven't seen you forever, man.
Doing well. I was up in Grand Marais over the weekend.
Oh, nice. One of my favorite towns. Absolutely.
I'll piggyback a comment you made yesterday. I don't want to take too much time, but I noticed there were a lot more people in Grand Marais on Tuesday than there were over the weekend. Like, you were kind of commenting yesterday about the...
When I'm up at on the lake where our cabin is at, if it gets... First of all, if it's a weekend in the summer, the lake is packed. It wasn't. It was actually pretty sparse, and it wasn't like it was bad weather or anything. But then as we got closer to the 4th of July, usually it starts to ramp up. I didn't see that. So Grand Marais, what day did you go into Grand Marais?
I got there on Sunday afternoon. I was there until Wednesday. And like I was saying, kind of like you were saying yesterday, that it seemed kind of quiet. I noticed it's not that there was nobody in Grand Marais on Sunday and Monday, but I noticed there were quite a few more people Tuesday. Yeah. And Wednesday before I left town.
You stop at the Blue Point and have the walleye and eggs, man?
I did not, unfortunately.
Sven and Ollie's?
They have kind of some staffing issues, and hours aren't exactly ideal right now.
It's hard to get people. When Nero and I went up there, they had a bunch of people from, like, Romania working there. That was their summer job. They got shipped over there, and they worked in Grand Marais. And Yeah.
And that's how it is in a lot of the places in town, but COVID and also Trump cutting on down on a lot of those visas have meant it's been really hard for them to get some of those workers to come in.
I'd be glad to have you back. I miss you, my friend.
Thank you. I missed being here with you.
And now I get to embarrass you on the network. Not really. Don't listen to the last 2 weeks of shows, two shows. I didn't say anything about you. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. By the way, that flamethrower exhibit, the example I used last hour, they like, you're old man candles. No, I'm not. I'm just saying no flamethrowers because it's a vehicle that can do a lot of damage. You're saying that everyone should have a flamethrower? Sweet Jesus, if we made flamethrowers legal, my God, half the town would be burnt down. It would be, yeah, you'll take my flamethrower out of my cold, dead hands. Jeez, this is what the founding fathers wanted. They think you were a wizard because you were shooting flames out of what looked like a beam. That's how it'd be going for you. 952-946-6205. Dan Tengwall took a while to find his footing at the Minnesota National Guard deployment to Iraq in 2009-2010. He felt lost, anxious, and depressed. He struggled with post-traumatic stress disorder. Even today, he goes counseling at the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis, which is, by the way, a godsend. You guys, everyone that's over there, that's working over there, doctors, nurses, all the staff, all the volunteers, you're beautiful people. I love you. The VA is a great organization there. One way to cope, dedicating himself to helping other veterans. As the Carver County Veterans Service Officer, Tengwall's new mission became assisting fellow Minnesota veterans to get benefits they're eligible for, such as education through the GI Bill, home loans with no money down, or health care through the VA. There's a lot of great things like that that the VA and military service get you. Starting today, Tengwall is going to help Minnesota veterans who served in federal service during the post-9/11 wars receive service bonuses. That's a century-long Minnesota tradition. Minnesota veterans who served between September 11, 2001 and August 2021 when U.S. troops left Afghanistan may apply for new service bonuses that were part of the Veterans Omnibus Bill passed this last legislative session. Those activated for federal service after 9/11 are eligible for a one-time $600 bonus. Those who served in a combat zone are eligible for a $1,200 bonus, while Gold Star families, the beneficiary of veterans who died in federal service, are eligible for a $2,000 bonus. The bonuses are available for 2 years or until the $24.8 million approved by the legislature runs out. The Department of Veterans Affairs in Minnesota, which handles the applications, encourages veterans to connect with county veteran service officers for questions. Free money, guys. It's on the table. If you know a veteran, served between 9/11 and August of 2021, so August of last year, sign up, get the money. It's quite literally the least we can do for the veterans. It is the least we can do. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. A gem here. By the way, I shouldn't mention Dr. Joe Eastman's going to join us. We're going to do a COVID update here coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Dr. Joe, we'll get him in talking. Is it over? COVID-5, the BA5 variant? It seems like the predominant one, but how dangerous is it right now? And is this kind of the new normal? Is that where we're at right now? We'll talk to Dr. Joe about all that coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. Republicans' obsessive fear of voter fraud extends behind just pillow magnet Mike Lindell and people in red hats at Donald Trump rallies. Ryan Wilson, the GOP-endorsed candidate for state auditor, tells a fantastical story about Election Day in 2020 to show his commitment to a fair vote. So once again, this is his story that he told, Ryan Wilson. According to a recording of Wilson's May comments to the Liberty Tea Party Patriots of Champlin, let me guess, that's a really white group. Ooh. Skim milk, you say. Republican lawyer for Trump on Election Day. That's what he was working as a Republican lawyer for Trump on Election Day. Both parties send volunteers to monitor the polls. And that day, lawyers were dispatched to hotspots around the nation. Hotspots. After the polls closed, he was assigned to watch an election judge to make sure he took the ballot straight to the election center. But the election judge didn't go straight there. Wilson followed him to his home, where he watched the man pull into his garage, walk into his house, and then turn the lights on, Wilson said. The man came out, saw Wilson sitting in the SUV, and recognized him from the earlier in the night, and then they'd spoken, Wilson said. He doesn't say anything. This is Wilson's account of what happened. He doesn't say anything, hightails it, turns around, goes back in the house, Wilson said. A couple of minutes later, the man opened the garage door and flies out of there. Wilson described the Tea Party group to a cinematic chase scene. And he basically tries to lose us. So my driver wasn't going to let him lose us. He's running yellow lights and we're running the red lights. We're following. Eventually he turns around and gives up and decides to go to the election center. So we followed him all the way to the election center. And at this point, it's becoming really big deal. Wow. Wow. That sounds exciting. You just admitted to running red lights. Wait a minute here. What? Okay. Hey, Champlin police, I think we know we can send a citation. They're admitting to this. This is the kind of story, if there is a recount in Minnesota, that throws it all into question, right? This is, once again, one of his quotes about the sensational story about him chasing down. Because, I mean, clearly the implication is, I guess he was, you know, the way this Wilson is putting it out here, it seems like the argument is he was heading someplace to dispose of the ballots or something like that. That's kind of the implication. What was it? He was running red lights. We're following him. Eventually he turns around and gives up and decides to go to the election center. So he's implying that he wasn't going to the election center. That he was doing something far more nefarious. All part of a day of action there for Ryan Wilson, GOP auditor candidate. Wow! Okay, don't we have the Who song from CSI Miami? We don't have that. Wow! You know, one of those things. We don't have that, do you? No.
I can get it for you.
See if you can. See if you can pull that up for me. The opening theme song for CSI Miami there. Because that's apparently what happened. A day in the life of Ryan Wilson. So this, yeah. Basically runs the red lights, go this way. This is what kind of story out there in Minnesota. So he's putting the story out there, and this is, like I said, he's talking to this Tea Party group. What happened to those ballots during those 15 minutes it was in his garage? Nobody knows. We filed a police report, and it was a big deal at the time. Once again, this is Wilson's recounting of it. This is his official thing. Is, oh, the ballots were in the garage, and oh, the cops were called. You know, are you ready? Do we have it here? Right? All right. It was an open and shut case, courtesy of Ryan Wilson. Wah! Yes! Yeah! It's the hard charging. Yeah! Get my sunglasses for my sunglasses. Yeah! Oh, man. That sounds exciting. Wow. I'm sure the police report will back all this up. Oh, what? What? Whoa. So, lots of implications. The ballots were going to go someplace other than the election center. What were those ballots doing in the garage? Call the cops. During a Reformer interview, Wilson provided a more subdued version. It was all weird for both of us. I was just supposed to follow him. He was supposed to go there. And it didn't sound like there was much of a car chase in the retelling of the story. He wasn't speeding off, but he'd go through lights and the lights would change. And it's like, what are we going to do? We had one job, to follow the chain of custody. He said the GOP election integrity folks told him to file a police report to just document it, so he did. So once again, now that we're backing off here, apparently there wasn't a high-speed chase through Champlin to go get those ballots. The police report obtained by the Reformer has more details as war discrepancies between Wilson's story and what actually happened. It says the election judge parked in his driveway, not in his garage. Wait a minute. Well, wait a second here. Isn't that all the who scream right there? What was going on in there? What do you mean? You lied? Wilson, you lied? Come on, man. I thought you were going to be the CSI auditor, man, chasing people through Champlin. Wilson rolled down his window. So he parks in the driveway, not in the garage. So that nefarious argument is gone. Wilson rolled down his window and asked if he was the election judge. The man walked up and said, "Wilson, what's your plan? I'm inside to watch the ballot box and make sure it gets to the Minnesota Election Center." The man said he was waiting for his wife, who was also an election judge, and they were going to go ride together to the election center. Wilson told police he watched the man take the black bag of ballots from his trunk and put it in his garage and then walked outside and paced back and forth. The man seemed nervous, Wilson told police. A few minutes later, the man walked back to Wilson and changed his mind. He was just going to drive himself to the election center and then did so. There's no mention of a police report of a chase. Wah! The city attorney reviewed the case, determined no crime had been committed. Well, outside of the Republicans who admitted there that they ran red lights, you might want to scratch out some tickets there for the old driver. In the story is an epitome, a miniature, a dozens of others that float around after the election day, from Sharpie pens to Domino's ties to Hugo Chavez. Basically, breathless excitement signifying nothing. Once again, another fantastic article from the Minnesota Reformer. So this guy makes up this story, implying clearly this election judge, who he was following to his house, was doing something nefarious. I mean, there clearly is, and if I was the election judge, I would be filing a lawsuit, because this story that he told at the Liberty Tea Party Patriots in Champlin was that there was something nefarious going on, that they had to run red lights to prevent this guy, and finally he gave up and went to the election center. That's the story he told. And that the car was parked in the garage when it was parked in the driveway. And clearly it seems like this guy was moving the ballots from the car into the garage to prevent you from getting to the ballots. And basically decided, you know, I'm waiting for my wife. Wife didn't show up. I'm going to drive them myself. That's a little bit of embellishment there. So, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to take a break. And when I come back, I think we're going to do a little bit of Ryan Wilson Theater. Oh, yeah. You know his life is exciting. Whoa, yeah. And we'll give you the reaction. There it is. Yeah, baby. We'll tell you what exactly happened. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. So, the GOP candidate for state auditor, Ryan Wilson, apparently embellished his story to the Liberty Tea Party Patriots, turning what was, well, kind of creepy, but, you know, fine. He was following the ballots home, and he found an election judge went home, but nothing nefarious happened. But yeah, what was going on in those ballots in the garage? Were they running red lights? He was trying to evade us. And none of that actually ended up true. So, you know, this is a comedy show at times. Yeah, I say some serious things, but I also make a lot of jokes. So I'm not saying Ryan Wilson said any of this, but I think it's time for us to have a little Ryan Wilson Theater. Yeah! Yeah! Give me the screech. Yeah! Oh, yeah, keep it playing there a little bit there, yeah. So, the Ryan Wilson story is this. Gunfire erupted, and my God, I hit for cover. Thank God I had the guns ready to go. I returned fire and took out four or five of those people as I was trying to save my life. And the actual thing that happened is he was watching Netflix. Oh, okay. Alrighty. So that's actually what none of that happened here. Okay, so here's more on the Ryan Wilson story. Ready? Yeah! Hot model girls came on in. Yeah! They need to be saved. Thank God I was ready for hot lead and hot loving. Oh, yeah, boo. Actually, the actual story is it was his dog. His dog came up to him as he was watching Netflix. Oh, okay. Here it is. Oh, here you ready? More Ryan Wilson story time. Here you go. Wow! Yes! He had to fight through an army of bullet hounds and oh my God, he's got to save the models. He's got to get there. Got to get to the car so they can get away. Woohoo! The actual story is he had to climb the stairs. Okay, so yeah. All right. Oh, here it is. Here, the final Ryan Wilson story time. Here you go. Oh, yeah. After taking all the bad guys, let me get a big old scream. Yeah. Yes. Ryan Wilson. Oh, he got some sweet, sweet affection from those hot model babes. Wow. What actually happened is his dog went outside and barfed. Okay. So it's it's slightly embellished. Watching Netflix, their dog came up, climbed the stairs, and then the dog went outside and threw up. Okay. All right. But, I mean, close. I'm making a joke. It's a parody. It's not like you actually did any of that stuff. But you do have to ask the question of why did you embellish the story so much to the Rado clown car up in Champlain? Wow! Oh, Wilson, dude, you were like the one that to a point I was the most concerned about on the Republican side. I mean, you can see the clown car that's Jensen and Burke. I mean, that's like Pinky in the Brain there. You've got the anti-Semitic Secretary of State candidate. You've got the Attorney General's race, who's basically just trying to tune it in, trying to do everything in the world to not talk about abortion or talk about how he'll treat those cops that murdered George Floyd. He doesn't want to talk about that at all. And here you were, and it looked like you were there, but here you are embellishing your story. Wow! Woo-hoo-hoo! You know, I would sure love if anyone else has got any stories from Ryan Wilson that have been somewhat embellished. I would love to hear that. I would love to hear that. Oh, man, dude. The thing that Ryan, the problem that they have here, okay, is that you don't need to, for the far right loon balls that think that JFK Jr. is going to come on back, for God's sakes. Dude, man, you don't have to embellish the story to say we followed him and, you know, he was supposed to go to the election office, but he went home. And, you know, yeah. And, you know, he was not, you know, not supposed to do that. And he said he was waiting for his wife and nothing bad happened there, but, you know, something could have bad happened. You know, you could make an argument there that was, you know, that is, you know, not procedure. And once again, you know, if you have a question, the county attorney looked at there, the city attorney reviewed the case in Champlin, determined no crime was committed, just wanted to go home and carpool with his wife. So, and you know, they are human beings, and thank you very much for all the people that volunteer on election night because you get to deal with crazy kooks, man, that are following you to your house. I mean, loon balls! or something like that. But you had to go out there and, oh, God, let me go back to the story here. Let me go back to the he basically tries to lose us. So my driver wasn't going to let him lose us. He's running yellow lights. We're running the red lights. We're following him. Eventually, he turns around and gives up and decides to go to the election center. So we follow him all the way to the election center at this point. What are you implying that he was doing there? Seriously, what are you? It seems like you're implying that he's doing something there. Especially, or is this just big guy, tough guy talk when you're about around the rightos, man? Because I can tell you right now, I have heard of some insane Republican speeches out in Republican territories when they think they're in Republican safe areas. One guy, and I'm just waiting to get the confirmation on this, apparently was at one of these far-right barbecues out in the far western part of the state and was talking about how damn right we'll jail women who are pregnant if we think we're going to get an abortion. What? What, jail them just because they're pregnant? Wow. Mwah. Like I said, I'm waiting for a confirmation on that one. But these guys get out in these groups. They get into these far right-wing groups, and they think that there's, you know, they're going to try to give the audience what they want. And so he turns what is a fairly innocuous story into, you know, Terminator 2, or tries to at least. This is the kind of story that there is a recount. Minnesota throws it all into question, right? No, it doesn't throw it all into question. It was a big deal at the time we filed the police report. No, it doesn't seem like it was a big deal. And you yourself seem to be walking away from it. Dude, man, don't embellish the stories. You're running for a statewide office. We're going to find out about it. So you might want to actually freshen up your material and make sure you're not using that story, because I guarantee you people are going to be paying attention now. And yes, it was a joke. It's a parody. You didn't really have a gunfight and save supermodels while it was really watching Netflix and taking your dog out as your dog felt sick. It wasn't that. But it is kind of crazy, dude, that you think that you can just make up stories like this and this is a good idea. Because like I said, we're going to find out all about them. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We're going to take a break. Dr. Joe Eastman will talk about the latest with COVID news with him when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Dr. Joe Eastman, he has worked with NASA. He has worked with the LTER. He has also worked at Colorado State University. Currently, he's part of the University of Texas Austin COVID modeling team, and he has been our COVID model expert. He is kind enough today to join us and give us an update of where things are at right now. Dr. Joe, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I saw some you posted me some pictures. You're out there doing some fishing. Nicely done.
Yeah, I saw your northern. It looked pretty nice.
Oh, that was, I'm saying about 4 or 4.5 pounds on that one. My daughter actually had the bigger fish, which was the bass. That was a nice bass.
Oh, really? Smallmouth, I imagine.
Yeah. So it was a good size there. You've been enjoying things up there. How have things been going for you in regards to the as your numbers here, as you've been looking at COVID? There seems to be a lot of people that are feeling like, okay, this seems to be somewhat over. You and I have talked about new normals. Are we starting to approach that new normal, or should we still be very diligent right now?
I'll stick to my diligent guns, man. I noticed, I made an observation about a week ago that kind of freaks some of the people in the modeling group out, and kind of freaks me out. If you look at the big waves that keep coming through since this thing started, all of a sudden it dawned on me, the time in between these waves is starting to shrink. Mm. There's so much COVID out there that, it's got time to sit there and mutate and do its thing and come up with new variants. And sure enough, it's down to about 3 months now between waves. And I describe a wave as greater than 100,000 infections a day. And that's what we're looking at right now. And we got the BA5 coming right now. By the end of the month, we'll start seeing things really start to ramp up. But it's characteristically different than the other peaks in that it's not just a big spike that lasts a couple of weeks. This is one of those things that's just kind of slow and extended, more like a flu type of infection, in that it lasts a long time. It's still hasn't reached its peak in September, according to the model. So,
and we should mention, when you're saying the 100,000 model, that's a national number, of course, not the statewide number here, but it's a national number. But isn't this kind of what you are alluding to for months now, is that this is never really going to go away, that the idea that this is just going to disappear one day and we'll all remember it, kind of similar to the Spanish flu, or excuse me, it's the flu of 1918, that was the way it was called. I mean, it's inappropriate to call it Spanish flu because it happened in Kansas, if I remember correctly, that's where it happened. It was a derogatory term against the Spanish at that point. But when they did that, the flu in 1918, it did sort of eventually disappear, but it also didn't go very quickly. There were some variants that came through. Is this really where we're at now? Is it we're starting to get into that that mode where it's just, this is just the new normal? Is that there's going to be a level of COVID out there all the time?
Yeah, unfortunately, and unless we come up with the super vaccine, as they call it, they're even debating right now whether it's fruitful to release the Omicron-specific vaccine this fall. And I'm like, of course it's relevant. We got to do it. We can't stop this Omicron variant without it. And we have a couple more, or I call them the three amigos, emerging in India right now that are even more contagious and more reinfectious. And they also bond to your lungs even tighter than in BA5. So until we get a handle on Omicron specifically, this is not going to stop. It's going to keep going.
You brought up BA5, and the New York Times actually had this. That is now the main variant you're seeing across the country, right?
That's correct. That and BA4 are making up over 70% right now of the infections. And basically, to put it in perspective, BA2, it could reinfect people, but it was at a very small rate. And then 2.1.12 came along, and that was 1.8 times more reinfection. Caused more reinfections. Roughly 80% more. Well, BA4 and BA5 are 420%. More reinfections than what we had with BA2, to put it in a relative sense. And these three amigos, they don't have a number yet for them, but it's going to be over five. And basically that says vaccines that you have right now, natural immunity, we don't care. We're coming. And, you know, with flu, we didn't have these long-term, the long-haul COVID and all the consequences that come with it. So in my mind, we can't ever have a new normal where we accept this. It's just the stress and the cost on the hospital system is too much. We gotta tackle this problem.
When you're talking about the three amigos, the new variants that are emerging, where are those coming from right now?
Out of India.
Out of India.
And and they're just starting to ramp up there. But if I read the lab results and such, it's starting to appear in other countries throughout the world. So beware. You'll probably be hearing about that within the next 6 months as that becomes more and more prevalent. So that's another strain of Omicron that we got to deal with. And, the CDC just released today a big study on, you know, vaccines and how much they've helped us to this point. And, you know, we get the anti-vaxxers, it doesn't matter anymore. Well, there was roughly 27 million infections averted through vaccination, about 1.5 million hospitalizations, and almost 250,000 deaths were averted just by the limited use of vaccine in this country that we went through. Imagine if everybody would have got fully vaxxed right away, we wouldn't be seeing what we're seeing right now. And and it's got to go global. You know, we got to do it globally, or we're going to have more of the three amigos coming out of other countries, and it's just a vicious cycle right now.
Is this something that, once again, I mean, you and Dr. Joe Eastman, our COVID modeling expert, joining us right now. Dr. Joe, is it one of those things? You had said you know very clearly that even if you are vaccinated, even if you are boosted, that these guys don't seem to care about that. Is there any really? Are there showing any level of protection from the vaccines or boosted for these new variants, or is this something where the more likely candidates to get it would people who are unvaccinated, or is it just are we back to an even playing field at this point?
It's very slight. I mean, it's one of those things that's probably below what we can measure, like a Heisenberg type of number. So the biggest impact has been in the people that do get it, that are vaccinated. You're going to have a better outcome. We'll just put it that way. And that's also part of that new study released for us old farts like myself. It's the biggest benefit is being vaccinated, and our chances of going to the ICU are greatly reduced. So that part of it's good.
So this is the Omicron specific vaccine that they have come up with.
And that will be ready probably in the fall. But just the old vaccines are showing, you know, they have a level, they produce enough antibodies that have some effect on the outcome if you happen to get infected with the Omicron variant right now. So it's still wise to get vaccinated. I mean, I'd rather have a better chance if I get it than if I'm unvaccinated, you're more likely to have a long haul outcome than if you're vaccinated. So that's kind of where we stand right now.
One of the things, do you agree with, I think it's the Minnesota Department of Health, they still have all the numbers online, but they have stopped with their daily recap. If you've noticed on this show, I haven't done the daily recap, the COVID update for the day, because they're not putting out the daily numbers. They're putting out a weekly number. Is it too soon for them to kind of lower their guard on this and kind of say it like this? Because, I mean, clearly the implication is now the state is saying, we're in a much lesser stage right now. We don't need to get the information out at the level that we're at.
Yeah, I totally, you know, disagree with what they're doing. I have a little bias because I'm a modeler. I want to see that data. I want to have that data. But I noticed that, too. I'm like, I got to poke around now and click several links to get to reports that I can really use and see how well my models perform at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's unfortunate that this is going on right now, and it just sends the wrong message to people. It's like, okay, live with it. Here we go. You know?
Well,
and, very frustrating.
Well, and one of the things I will point out is that, okay, I think there was clearly a definite correlation between all those people at the holidays going and seeing Spider-Man, that movie, going to the movie theaters. And a lot of people saw it. And then what we had this massive wave that lasted really until March. And here we are. Right. Here we are in the summer, and I mean, for the most part, a lot of people are outside, and I think that that's a good thing. It's easier to be safer outside and during the summer months. But you just do have a lot of people that are going in these movies, and what, the Top Gun movie, the Jurassic Park movie, Minions. You got the Thor movie coming on out here. I'm not seeing the almost immediate spike, especially since, you know, really the last month or so that we've seen there. So is this. From what you're seeing, it kind of sounds like it's not going to spike like a spike. It's going to be more like a rolling mound.
Yeah, you got it precisely correct.
Okay.
And that goes back to a little 1963, a classic paper by Ed Lorenz. And it has to do with nonlinear models. And just a small perturbation in initial conditions can give you a vastly different result, and your predictability is limited, et cetera, et cetera. And that's so relevant now, because just last week, my model was telling me, oh, big spike at the end of July, and then I got a few more trainings in and better initial conditions, and all of a sudden I started seeing, as you described it, that's a good term, rolling mound is coming, and it's going to pick up here. It's third week of July, and you're going to see it just continually grow through September. And the model's converging on that solution, and I've seen other modelers with similar results. So I have more confidence in that now than I did before.
We're back to the point, though, where we kind of finish out all of our conversations is it really is, as much as some people are saying, we're done with it, COVID's over, it's not over, they still need to get vaccinated, they still need to wear their mask, and they still need a social distance, especially with these new variants that look like they're going to be coming in the fall.
That's, you're exactly right. Right now, I just finished updating my algorithm for what I call spreader events, you know, where people have mass gatherings or holiday travel like the 4th of July. And I could be wrong. We might see a spike here coming in a couple of weeks just from all the travel where, you know, people are not even wearing masks on planes anymore, for God's sakes. It's just frightening. You know, I'd have a full respirator on if I had to travel right now.
Wow. And clearly, and it's not just, as you say, it's not just for you. You could be carrying this. We've talked about these latest variants that people don't even realize they're sick. And there could be people out there that have compromised immune systems that even if they're wearing a mask, they're still vulnerable to the Omicron variant.
That's correct. You know, it's roughly 3% of the U.S. population is immune compromised. So, you know, look out for your fellow human beings. I mean, it just makes sense to me. And, you know, we all got to take care of each other. So, yes, by all means, I think diligence and masking and social distancing got to keep up. But unfortunately, I don't see that message coming out of our health, you know, departments and the CDC and the state health. So I don't know. I'm at a loss for words on that one.
I'm going to ask you to make a prediction here. Clearly by what you're saying is at some point this fall, you feel as if there's going to be another saying you need another booster, correct?
That's correct. With the Omicron specific booster, it's got to be done. we got to nip this thing, and you know, and eventually something worse than Omicron could come out. It just takes a few more mutations in the DNA structure of these things, and we could have something even more deadly. And the other thing to remember about BA5 and 4 is all of a sudden young people are starting to have the long haul COVID, and pretty poor outcomes from it. And I had several doctors tell me the same thing. They're seeing more and more young people now with long-term COVID symptoms happening.
24-year-old friend of mine was sick for, I think it was 16 months. They finally, just finally tested negative. For 16 months, though, they were testing positive. They'd go through and they kept testing positive, and they just could not test positive. And it's just, yeah, now it's they're done. And now the big hope is, okay, am I really recovered, or am I going to be basically, you know, still sick for another 3 years without any, you know, positive tests?
Right, right. It's and it's young people who are more socially active too. Yeah. So. I put some responsibility on them to kind of step up and say, let's beat this thing here, you know? So, we'll keep going.
Dr. Joe, you stay safe. Your information is always good. We'll keep an eye out on the Three Amigos. When you finally get numbers for those, let us know what those variants are going to be called. And we'll keep an eye out for the booster call here. Let's have you back on before too long. I do look forward to a day where I might not have to have you on the air, but I do enjoy having you on the air all the time. So it's like I'll find another reason to have you on the air if, God willing, we get to a point where we don't have to talk about COVID anymore.
Well, I can always talk about climate and weather. So
we'll do that. We'll do that. We'll look forward to those days eventually. Dr. Joe Eastman.
All right. I hope so, brother.
Take care. Dr. Joe Eastman joining us, our COVID modeler. We'll take a break, come on back, wrap up the show. When we do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Oh, someone asking me, Marty, on if you're watching the show and watching on the AM 950 feed, I will put up on the social media pages the news story which talks about the benefits for veterans that served between 9/11 and August of last year. Get in touch with your county veterans officials. They'll actually help you figure out how to make that application for that money there. So I'll make sure I get that up there a little bit later on. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Is the phone number. Democrats, once again, I want to make sure, I pointed out earlier, even their auditor on the Republican side is a laughingstock. Can't, you know, has to embellish stories and stuff like this. The Republicans are really weak, and we need to remember you passed one of the biggest infrastructure bills of all time, probably the biggest since the New Deal with FDR. Story, several airports across Minnesota have received a nearly $25 million in federal funding to update their terminals as part of a broader $1 billion effort by the federal government to improve airports nationwide. The biggest chunk of money, $21.3 million, will go to Minneapolis-St. Paul International, which will use the funding to upgrade its terminal facilities, which, once again, you know, good deal there. All told, some 85 airports, four of them in Minnesota, will take part in the Federal Aviation Administration's program that is crafted out of Joe Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law. The purpose of that program is to expand capacity at airports, increase energy efficiency, promote competition, and provide greater accessibility at airports for individuals with disabilities. Beyond the MSP airport, airports receiving program funding are in Glencoe, Preston, and Bemidji. Now, if you are a DFLer in Glencoe, Preston, and Bemidji, not only should you be touting this every day, you need to go on out there and make sure you remind them all the Republicans, I believe all the Republicans in the state of Minnesota voted against this infrastructure bill. All of them voted against it. So when they sit there and say, isn't it great we're fixing this? Well, not thanks to you. You basically voted to not fix this. And when they sit there and they say, well, I wanted this to be part of anything. I was just had a problem with other things. You still voted against it. It was in the bill. You knew that Glencoe, Preston, and Bemidji's airports would get assistance and get some help. You knew that. And yet you still voted against it. You cannot take credit for it if you voted against the bill. Grunhagen is out there. It was in Blue Stem Prairie. They had an article where he was trying to praise the bill. Was it the farmer's bill that went out there that he voted against twice? Twice he voted against the bill. But now they're out there. If you don't challenge them, their audience will all say, "Oh, isn't he great? The guy that voted against it twice sure got this and delivered it to us." No, you don't want that. You guys got to do a better job at presenting the game ball when you win it. You won the game ball with the infrastructure bill. And yeah, I understand Glencoe and Preston and Bemidji. Well, Bemidji is going to be, Democrat, that's for sure. But, Glencoe and Preston might not be the most liberal areas, but this is a way in. And you know what? They can't argue with it. That's more money for the communities. That's better facilities for the communities. It helps out the airport. It helps out businesses. This is a win, and not near the DFL. You are doing a horrible job at touting this infrastructure bill. You should have events with a speaker's podium at every one of these places, every bridge, every road, every airport. And part of the sale is saying, "And the Republicans voted against it." Almost universally, not one single Minnesota Republican voted for it. Every single time. That's how you win. That's how you win. The Devil's Advocates, that's coming up here. Oh, and 5, 6 o'clock hour, Native Roots Radio. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.